Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning here at Blairland Baptist Church. Good to see everyone here today. As we start December, we'll be singing Christmas carols hopefully every Sunday, so we'll have to repeat some of them, I'm sure, before the month's out. But hopefully we'll be singing some of your favorites as we sing this month, Christmas carols. We're going to open our service this morning with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. If you'd stand with us, please, and join in. Thank you for being here. If we have visitors, special welcome to you this morning. Turn and greet each other as we welcome our pastor to the stage this morning. Good to see everyone today.
Good morning, folks. It's good to see you. We welcome you today to our service. We welcome our Facebook people and also YouTube and those who listen by the radio. We welcome you to worship with us today also. This is the day that the Lord's made, and so we rejoice and we're glad in it. I'm glad that you are here. I want to remind you that today will be the last day that we'll receive a love offering for missions. So the mission box is over here, the offering box. And if you'd like to give to international missions, home missions, state missions, that's what this love offering is all about. So just take advantage of that if you do that, please. I'll be preaching today about the rapture. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll conclude today with the series I've been in for some time now, talking about living in the end times. So we'll conclude today with talking about the rapture of the church. May we pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for a time of worship that you've given to us. We lift our hearts up to you. We open our hearts to you. Father, we want to honor you today and glorify you in all that we do. And all that we say, receive our worship today. We offer to you as humbly as we know how, knowing that you are God, your King, and your Lord. And we give our worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. A few other announcements just to take note of in your bulletin. The Children's Christmas Program practice will be Wednesday at 7. And that program will be on December the 19th at 10 o'clock in our service here on the 19th. Also, there's a caroling event scheduled for December the 12th, and meeting the Fellowship Hall at 5 o'clock. So just take note of those. There's other announcements in there, such as with children's camp and also with with the Soul Sisters group that has an announcement in there as well. We're going to be singing a couple of Christmas carols I'm sure everybody's familiar with, O Little Town of Bethlehem and Away in a Manger. So you join in with us as we sing this morning.
See thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee. Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth and praise it. Sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His head. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. No crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, fit us for heaven to live with Thee there.
Okay, we're going to ask you to continue joining with us in singing Christmas songs. We're going to sing Joy to the World. So if you could stand with us, please, as we sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Sing it's not a typical Christmas carol that you'd find in the hymn book, but it's a Chris Tomlin song, and it's entitled Adore. I'm sure it'll be familiar to a lot of you.
You came. sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall. Angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall.
Father, we would pray that everything that is within us would adore you. We pray that we would bow before you today, recognizing you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that you chose to come to live on earth and die for our sin. God, we thank you for the greatest gift, and that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 is where I want to read from. According to the Bible, a time is coming that we know of as Christians that is referred to as the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 is the key passage about this topic, and so I will read the scripture this morning. But I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up. And the word called up there, that's the English phrase, the rapture, the word rapture. That's the Latin phrase. Harpizo is the Greek word that means to be snatched up, called up. So in the English Bible, it's called up, but it's commonly referred to as the rapture. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the Bible tells us that on that day, that millions of people will disappear, as the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye from the face of this earth. That is the rapture. That is the catching away of Christians. All true Christians will be caught up from the earth and raptured into the presence of the Lord, and also those who have died in the Lord will also be raptured with us. Their bodies will. And so when we think about this passage, though, it gives us great hope. It gives us great encouragement. Now, a lot of people have a problem with the rapture for a number of reasons. One argument against the rapture that some people talk about is that they say, well, the word is not in the Bible. And it is not in our English translation of the Bible. The word rapture is not there. But also, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But we believe in the teaching of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but we believe in the Bible, so don't let that bother you that the word is not there. The truth is here. Whatever word you want to use, if you want to use rapture, if you want to use the catching away, if you want to use the snatching up, or whatever you want to use, you know, the truth of the doctrine is here. So as we think about this, we really need to see the hope that the Scripture gives us. And so it simply means this, that this is the time that believers are going to go and meet the Lord. That's what we're talking about here this morning. So it could be the catching away, the snatching away, the translation of the church, whatever terminology you want to use. There are four major passages in the Bible that speak of this time when Jesus will come again. John 14:1-3, 1 Corinthians 15:50-57, and 1 Thessalonians 4. That's the three main passages in the Bible that speak of this event that we're talking about. So it is for those. This event that we're talking about this morning is for those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the main thing about this is, and what I've been trying to say over these number of weeks that we've been talking about this, the main thing for any person is to be prepared, to be ready for this coming. I know there's all different kinds of views about the second coming of Christ, the coming of Christ and all that, but the main thing is to be ready. So let's start this morning with an overview of the rapture of the church. In John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, listen to the words of Jesus. Well, let's read verse 1 and 2. John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, and here it is, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we're talking about the overview of what we're talking about here this morning, this event when Jesus Christ comes. So from the lips of Jesus himself, he tells us in John 14, "I will come again." Now we're in the season of Advent. And in Advent, we, of course, focus on the birth, the advent of the coming of Jesus Christ in this world. But also through Advent, what we need to think about is this event of his coming again, of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, he is coming again. And that's what Jesus tells us in John 14. Another passage is 1 Corinthians 15. Now listen to these words by the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery." So Paul is going to tell them something that they really didn't know about, so he doesn't want them to be uninformed, and so he's going to give them information about this mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump will sound, the dead in Christ will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So that is the event that we're talking about this morning. That is the overview of what we're talking about in the Scripture. So the main question that the people at Thessalonica had, and the reason Paul gave them this passage, was what would happen. The question they had is, well, if the Lord is coming, what about our loved ones who died? What's going to happen to them? And so Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, you know, that they will be resurrected. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So they were concerned about that. Paul assures them that Christians, whether dead or alive, will not be left behind, but we all will be together. So that's what he tells them. Paul was writing to tell them what they did not know. He said, I don't want you to be uninformed about this, so I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here. Now, when the Bible talks about sleep, it talks about those who are asleep in the Lord. The word sleep is a metaphor in the Bible for death. Now, what it refers to is the body. When a person dies, the body is buried into the ground. But the soul, the spirit, goes immediately to be with the Lord. The Bible tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So it uses the word sleep as a metaphor for the body. There is life after death. The Bible does not teach soul sleep. That's not what the Bible teaches. The loved ones who have died with the Lord, they are with the Lord in soul. They're with the Lord in spirit. One day the body will be resurrected to a glorified body. Now, I want to talk about the certain promise of the rapture. That is seen in verses 14 and 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4. He tells us here that the hope we have is what we believe. It's our faith in Christ. Paul gives us the answer in verse 14 and 15 of our hope. And he tells us it's based on the death of Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died, well, that's his death. He came, he died on the cross for our sins. That's what we believe. We believe that he made the atonement for our sin, that he satisfied the justice of God, that he took our penalty on the cross. If we believe that, if we believe Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and that's what we believe, and that he rose again, so we believe in the resurrection, because Jesus rose from the dead, then the promise is that those who die before the rapture of the church, our loved ones who are buried, one day those bodies will be resurrected to be united with soul and with spirit. Now, how all that works, I have no idea. But I'm just sharing with you what the Scripture has to say. Then he tells us here it's based on the Word of God. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the Word of the Lord. This is what the Lord told Paul. This is God's revelation to Paul about what's going to happen when he comes again. So this is God's word. And what I'm trying to do today is to share with you what the word of the Lord says about this event, about the rapture of the church, about Jesus Christ coming again. So he said, this is what the Lord has revealed to me about what is going to happen on that day. And then you see the kind of the chronological structure of it here is the third truth. And really how he summarizes it is by using what I'm going to do is use four words here. Verse 16, there is the return. This return is going to be personal. This return is going to be physical. The Bible says it will be visible. And the Bible says it will be audible. If you look at it here, there are three sounds. For the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout. Now this is going to be something like we have never heard before on this earth. But when Jesus comes again, and he could come at any moment, there will be a shout, the voice of the archangel. The only archangel that's mentioned in the Bible, there could be more than one, but the only one mentioned in the Bible is Michael, so it could be him. But there's going to be the voice of the archangel, and then there's going to be the sound of the trumpet. So that will be the sounds that will be heard. And so Jesus Christ is coming for his church. In Acts 1:11, when the angels stood by the people who were gathered in Acts 1 at the ascension of Christ, here's what they said. This same Jesus, now this is the Bible, okay? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So again, we have the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. When we talk about the coming of Christ, that's no fairy tale. It's not a fable. I mean, this is something that is going to happen. The second way to summarize it is talk about resurrection. In verse 16, he tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. In Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6, the Bible refers to this as the first resurrection. And so our loved ones who've died, their bodies are in the ground. Those bodies are going to be resurrected. So that's what's going to happen first. They will be raised from the dead. Then we who are alive, if we're alive at this event, then we're going to be caught up together with them. William Barclay was a famous theologian, and here's his statement about this. He said, if a man has lived in Christ and died in Christ, even if he is dead, he is still in Christ. That means that between Jesus Christ and the man who loves him, there is a relationship which nothing can break. It is a relationship which overpasses death. Because Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again, so the man in Christ, or the person in Christ, man, woman, whoever, in Christ, shall live and die and rise again. Nothing in life or death can ever separate him from Christ. So when that event happens, those who have died in the Lord, they have the priority. They will be raised first. And then some way, I don't know how it happens, but their body will be transformed. Their body will be glorified just as our bodies will be transformed. Their body, soul, and spirit will be reunited. Then another word to summarize here is the rapture. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain, if you're living at that time, those who are alive and remain shall be called up. And again, that's the idea of the rapture. Again, it means to carry away by force. Now, why would the Bible use that word? There are some theologians who believe that the prince and the power of the air, who is Satan, is going to do everything he can to keep this event from happening. But it's going to be a snatching away by force when Jesus Christ comes for his church. That's what the word means. It means also to claim for oneself eagerly. I mean, he's eagerly awaiting this event. To snatch away, and that's where the Bible uses the word to be changed in the moment. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be sudden. It's going to be a snatching away, as the Bible says. And the word means to rescue us from danger. So there will be another thing that happens. And the third word to summarize it would be reunion. Verse 17, there will be a reunion. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? With our loved ones. With those who have died in the Lord. And so this is the reunion. But where will the reunion take place? It'll take place in the air. It'll take place in heaven. So there's a great reunion that's going to happen. And we'll enter heaven together. And that's the hope that the Bible gives us, and that's the promise of the Bible. And then the fourth thing that I want to talk about is the comforting purpose of the rapture. When I do a graveside service, this is the passage of Scripture that I use, 1 Thessalonians 4. And the reason I use this passage is because exactly what the Bible tells us here. In verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. So this is a truth. This is a message of comfort. And it gives us comfort to know It gives us comfort to know that we have hope beyond this life. That we have hope that when we die, that there is life beyond this life. That death does not end it all. It gives us comfort to know that one day that we will be reunited with our loved ones. So these are great words of comfort. They talk about the big issues of life and death, the end of the world, the struggle between good and evil, all of it seen right here in this passage. So Paul was writing to this group of people because they were upset about this issue. And they were really struggling with it. And he says, let me give you some comfort about your loved ones who've died. Here is the plan. Here's what's happened. Here's where they are. Here's what's going to take place. So he gave them that comfort. So what is the conclusion in light of the rapture? What's the conclusion here? Well, the question is this. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for this event that's going to take place? Like I said, there's all kinds of different views and all kinds of ideas about this. But the main thing is to be ready. To be ready for his coming. Because he is coming again. So we want to meet him with joy. We want to meet him with anticipation. We want to meet him in a good way. And so that's what we need to be thinking about. So what should we do? We should be looking for the Lord. Now, there's two reasons we should be looking for the Lord. Number one is what the Bible says. The Bible says he is coming. And what we've talked about all these weeks is that he's going to come like a thief in the night. His coming is going to be sudden. His coming is going to be without warning. So the Bible says he's coming. So the Bible says it, and that settles it. Amen? That's it. That settles it. So the Bible says he is coming, so that's why we need to be looking for the Lord. The second reason is because really it makes us anticipate the meeting that we're going to have with him. If you've really been in a situation where you've had news of someone who was going to come and visit with you, or maybe you have family that doesn't live close and you receive news that they're going to come for a visit, boy, you get excited about that. And you anticipate that. Well, that's how we need to be. We need to anticipate his coming. There's a lot of things about it I know that can be scary. There's a lot of things about it that can be unsettling. But when we're looking for him and we have the right a mindset about that and the right attitude about that, it can be something that we really expect and that we're having joy about. So that's where we want to be with it. And then we should be living for the Lord. There is a connection between looking for him and living for him. And the connection is this. If we're looking for the Lord, then we're going to be living for the Lord. And so that's what Paul's telling these folks here. He says you need to be looking and you need to be living for the Lord. You know, we've talked a lot about the second coming, and what we've tried to say is this, that really, you know, a death for the believer really is going home. But also for us who are alive and remain, when this event happens, it's going to be going home for us too. And so what the Bible tells us is at that moment, then, you know, all of us are going to be together. And what a reunion time that's going to be. Now, if you've ever built a new house and you had anticipation about moving into that new house, or maybe you've moved locations and you moved to a new house, I mean, there's a great deal of excitement about that because you're going to move into a brand new house. Well, folks, that is where we're headed. I mean, one day we're going to move into our brand new house and we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be in heaven with our loved ones. And, you know, the main event of that is we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see him face to face. So my word to you today is this: be looking for Him and be living for Him, and then you'll know that you will be ready when He comes again. And the way that He's made is through the cross, and to believe in Him and to trust in Him. This event is called, commonly called, the rapture of the church. We don't need to change that. That's what it's commonly called. So let's look for His coming again and be prepared through His work on the cross for us. Okay? Let's stand for our time of invitation. Lord, we thank You for this great word of comfort today. We thank You that You have a plan, that Your plan is exactly on schedule. Your timetable is exactly on schedule. And as we've talked about, we don't know the time and date, and that's not what this is about. We're not setting dates, or we don't claim to know the time. But we do know this, that You are coming again. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for this event. And the way we do that is by trusting in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, by putting faith and trust in Him. And Lord, I pray that if there are those today who've never made that commitment, that they would do that today. That they would ask Jesus Christ to come into their life, to forgive them of sin and be their Savior. Lord, today as Christians, as believers, help us to have the attitude of anticipation and joy and excitement for this event. Because this is when we will get to see You face to face. This is the time when we'll move from this earth to heaven. When we'll move into our new home that the Bible calls heaven. And we're looking forward to that event. But Lord, also we have comfort in knowing that our loved ones who have died in the Lord are with You. They are in Your presence. One day, when this event happens, their bodies will be changed. Our bodies will be changed. And we all will be with You in heaven. So we look forward to that time of reunion. And I pray that we would take comfort in these words today. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to
thank You for being here today. As we go through the season of Advent and we think about the advent of the first coming of Jesus Christ, we also need to be reminded of His second advent, and that is when He comes again. So let's just think about that as we go through this season. Go this week in His grace and in His love, and may God bless you. The worship team will come now with a course of benediction, and after that, you're dismissed again.
We'll close with the chorus, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. His name is called.